Now, in the UK and other places today, because it is the Sunday just before Remembrance Day, we would consider the remembrance of God and the remembrance of the fall, and there would be a time of silence. There would be a time to consider all of those sacrifices that were made for our freedoms. But here in Canada, it seems to be somewhat different. It's not really in the churches. And yet I would like to bring this word this evening and to cause you to remember this. That in the introduction to this word of God this evening, that there have many fallen in wars throughout the ages for the freedoms that we have, to gain the freedoms and to maintain the freedoms that we enjoy. And when we consider war and death and sacrifice and conflict, they're dreadful matters. Whether you're directly involved as a member of the military, or that you're a civilian and you're caught up in the civilian conflict, okay, in this continent that hasn't been much the case in the last century at least, but certainly in Europe that has been the case and elsewhere. But whatever the armed conflict is, eventually one of the warring parties must surrender and must sue for peace. They must seek that peace and raise that white flag that is needed. And do remember this, that all such conflict that we see in the world and we know from our history lessons at school has all been caused by what? By your and my sin. Your and my sin as members of this one human race. We're all responsible. Yeah, Adam fell, but we fell in Adam and with Adam. And we're no different from our fallen father. So it's all the result of our own wickedness and our own rebellion against moral good and moral truth and the truth of God. And that is the curse of our sinful estate in which we live, our sinful condition since we fell into misery and sin. But it is also vitally important that we're never to forget this truth, that there is a future conflict to be faced. There is a future war that we will never win unless we sue for peace now. Remember thy Creator. Remember now thy Creator. Because there is a righteous enemy against every unrepentant sinner. When we think of enemy, we think of bad things, but this is a good and righteous enemy. For as he says in Psalm 96, in verse 13, for he cometh to judge the earth. And for the unrepentant sinner, he is a great enemy. And he's great in both ways. He's a wonderful enemy, and he's the greatest enemy for the unrepentant sinner, for the rebel, for the hater of God. For he cometh to judge the earth, he shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. That is a picture. That is a promise. That is a word of prophecy that shall be fulfilled of your Creator coming as your judge. Hence why our text this evening is looking to deliver you from that final, complete, and eternal and painful end. Having made your own Creator you, having made your Creator your enemy. And yet see the word of mercy that comes forth from the pages of Scripture as your Creator comes to you with words of mercy, with a command of mercy. In other words, do not be lax, do not be lazy concerning your own precious soul. Do not be unconcerned. Do not be careless. But have a heart and have a care for your own eternal good. But listen to God's call tonight, what he says, remember now thy Creator. And the title of this message is Remember Salvation. Remember Salvation. before it is too late. Because as our text is talking, there are times that it's too late. The time is moving on. Time is your great enemy. And if you have not made peace with God, God will remain your righteous enemy. Remember salvation before it is too late. And we see firstly, remember now. Remember now the first two words of verse 1. And it's a commanded remembrance that we see. A commanded remembrance. Remember, a divine command. This is what the Lord says to us all. He says this evening, and he commands us. It's not a suggestion. It's not an opinion. It's not a take it or leave it. It's a command. Remember now thy Creator. A clear heavenly command made to every human being. Remember now. God's Spirit has breathed in to Solomon, who's written down on this paper in his years of study and here in Ecclesiastes, his later years as he comes back to the Lord, having backslidden for a long time. It's a commanded remembrance, so you must do what the Lord says, but it's also a constant reminder. Remember now, remember today, while today is today, and then tomorrow is also today. You remember every day, remember your God, keep him in your thoughts at all times. And remembering this, that all our time is not our own. It's a gift of God. Hence why our deacon prayed that the Lord has given us 7 days and we give one back according to his command to spend time with him and his people. And to do those acts of necessity and mercy that we ought to do. It's God's time. God has given it to us. And God says, remember me now. Every second of every day, have me in your thoughts. But then he adds this. He says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And so speaking to the young amongst us. And of course, most middle-aged and people who are aging are in denial about their age. And so let me speak to you all as young youth and middle-aged youth and older youth, such as our society. But seriously, he speaks to those who are young of age, that we are to take care to remember our Creator in the days of our strength, in the days of our youth, in the days of our agility and ability, in our clear eyes and our clear thinking and clear hearing, which is what the remainder really of the verses are talking of. And so what is youth then specifically? It speaks of childhood. It speaks of the teenager. It speaks of the young adult. It speaks of the adolescent, and adolescence goes up to 30 and beyond 30, just to give an idea. But as they say, you're only as young as you feel. But the Lord is making a point here to the young. So the younger of age in this congregation, be aware that God commands you that you remember your Creator, and that he has his eye upon you in a most special way. Do not forget him, but fill your heart and mind full of him. And if you're no longer a youth, then you take that initial command. Remember now thy Creator. Remember him. Now. It's a commanded remembrance. It's a constant reminder. But it is a condemned reality. It's a condemned reality that God, our Creator, has to command us. Has to remind us, as it were, to remember him. The source and the cause of our life. The sustainer of our life. Because the terrible problem and the terrible truth is that we do not remember him at any age of life. That we so easily forget him that has caused every heartbeat within the last minute to occur. Every breath. Every process in the human body here has been caused by our Creator. We're sustained by him. But we are often indifferent. We often ignore our Creator. We ignore the Lord who is our God. And you can, days can pass by without a thought, without a morsel or a crumb of gratitude to God for all that He does. Now, Saint, you will recognize this in your own heart. You who are the holy ones of the Lord, those who are the saved of God, you'll recognize this because there is a deadness in the flesh that is still evident. That we can pass by hours, I trust not days, but hours busy with things of the world. But as God is pleased to draw us back to Him, we do think on Him. And that is a grace, that is a mercy of God to warm our hearts again. You know, we often talk of human rights in politics and in the media. There's talk of human rights. But there are rights which are far more important than human rights. And they are the Creator's rights. And that's really what the Lord is speaking of here. I have a right to be remembered. I have a right, this is the Lord, has a right for you to take cognizance, to pay attention to Him and to listen to His word and to obey His word. For He is not only your Creator and your sustainer, but when you're in sin, He is your enemy. His wrath is upon you. And God is well within His rights to demand our attention, to demand our obedience. Also to demand our worship, to demand our money, to demand our whole lives. And therefore we are all, always to be mindful of our God, who is our Creator. And yet we shamefully do not think on Him. We do not remember Him, because we willingly forget Him. And so, remember that God is your Creator. This Jehovah, this triune Jehovah that we meet in Scripture, that He is your Creator, that He is your God, and that you owe your God your life. You owe your God everything. You also owe your God your memory and your mind and your heart. Because the Hebrew understanding of the word mind, and when we think of remember, we think of mind. When they think of mind, they think of heart. And when they think of heart, they think of mind. That one word has both together. The very core of who you are is to remember now thy Creator. So besides being a clear command to remember now, our text continues to command in different ways. And really verses 2, 3, all the way up to verse 6 are really building out and describing and illustrating all that we see mentioned in verse 1. And in different ways, and different ways of looking at these things. Different angles. Now we're not going to go word for word through each of these verses. There is much imagery. There is some overlap. But we can consider this, that we're to secondly to remember while. Remember while. While what? Well, we see the first while there in verse 2. While you have time. I suppose the first one is in verse 1. Second part of verse 1. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. So remember while you have time. And specifically while you're young. While you're young. Before you're aged. Because the days of old age here are called the evil days. The days when things don't work anymore. Days of pain and days of stiffness. Days of too little sleep. Days of too much sleep. And all those various effects of old age on the human body. And such effects of age, such matters, medical and likewise, they have a negative effect on the body, in so much that you would say, I have no pleasure in them. I know people who are of old age, and they cannot wait for the Lord to call them home, for they have no pleasure in them anymore. to have a pleasure in the Lord. But in the effects of sin and misery, which we see in the aging of the human body, they have no pleasure in them. And of course, the older you get, the quicker time seems to flow. When you're youngster, when you're really young, your life, it seems to stand in front of you like a whole eternity. But the older you get, time, does it not? It flows quicker and quicker. And a decade goes by as quickly as a summer vacation did when you were young. And that's why when you are young, when you are in your youth, when you're in your youthful years, that you must flee to your God and to your Creator before the body, before the heart, before the mind become hard and old. Before it's too late. Before it's too late to love the Lord. Before it's too late to serve the Lord. For what is it with a life that is saved just before death? Hallelujah for that soul that has received the mercy and the grace of God. But where is that service for the Lord Jesus Christ? It is good that you remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, that you will be brought out of the madness of sin and the foolishness and the lies of the world, and that your eyes will be open to the truth of Jesus Christ, that you will love Him and serve Him all your days, and that the Lord will grant you many days to serve Him. We considered the passing away of the Lord's servant, the Reverend Dr. Alan Kearns, given a long life, became a minister in his 20s, and was enabled by God's grace for many, many years, probably 50 and above, to serve the Lord. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember now, this evening. Remember this evening thy Creator, young one, young adult, young teenager. So while you have time, remember now your Creator. But secondly, and we see that in verse 2, while you can still read the Bible. What do I mean by that? Verse 2 is, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. What happens after the rain? Well, normally the clouds are emptied and the clouds have disappeared and we have clear blue sky, as we tend to have here in Alberta. But no, while you have good eyesight, while you're young, while you can see clearly, while you do not have cataracts of cloudiness of vision, while the book of nature can be read clearly, and while the book of God's revelation is there to be read, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. You know, many people, when they get old, they can no longer read the Bible. They can no longer read anything. The eyes are so dim. So how will they read about Christ and the gospel? Well, they need someone else. But this is a wonderful gift that God has given to mankind, to have the word written down. Reading in general is a gift, but the reason why the Lord gave that was for the Bible. That we could read the Bible and we'd have this word to rebuke us, to correct us, to open up who Jesus is for us, to discover that our God is our Heavenly Father in Jesus, and all these wonderful truths of how the Lord loves His people, preserves His people, delivers His people. But if you can't read that, how will you be comforted? How will you be converted? How will you grow in the knowledge of Christ? When I was an assistant in my fourth year of studies, I worked in a church there in Ulster, in County Down. And I used to visit an old lady. I used to visit a number of people from the congregation. But this old lady, she wasn't actually a part of the congregation. She was the aged mother of a family in the congregation. And by accident, I knocked on her door. I thought it was their side door, but it was a sort of granny flat, as we call them, and an apartment for the aged mother. And so I was invited in. And as I visited her a few times, it was so a joy to visit her, because this lady was almost blind. And she couldn't read the Bible. And she missed not being able to. She could hardly see the television. She could hardly see anything. And that's why I felt it my duty every time I visited her to remind her how good looking I was. She couldn't even prove that, if it was true or not. But that was just our little joke. But I must say, I found it an absolute privilege and an honor to open up the scriptures for this dear saint who couldn't see a word of the living God anymore, and read the scriptures to her and pray with her and see the Lord touch her by his own precious word. A privilege it was. But young people, you have clear eyesight. You can open the scriptures whenever you want to. You can read them, you can understand them, you can believe them. And therefore remember now, thy Creator in the days of thy youth, when your eyes still work and you can read the Bible. And reading the Bible, understand it, study it, believe it. So while you have time, yes, while you can read the Bible, yes, but also while you have strength, while you have life and while you have vigor. And we see this in verse 3. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. As it was, a keeper of the house is like a bodyguard, is like a doorman protecting the house. Well, these now have become so aged and weak, they tremble. And the strong men shall bow themselves because they've become all crooked and weak. And the grinders cease because they are few. That is the age of those strong men who would be in charge of the millstones. And those that look out of the windows be darkened. Everything's getting weak. Everything's getting feeble. And we see that also in verse 5. So verse 3 really talks about the body, the decrepitude of the body. But verse 5 really points, I would suggest, to the mind and to the heart in this sense. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. And so we see the emotions and the will and the mind and the strength of the mind and the thoughts are weakening as well. All things are too much physically and mentally. Just think of the mental strength and the physical strength that God has granted to the youth. And consider then for whom we should use this strength and vitality that the Lord has granted us. The sharpness of mind, the strength of the body. For whose honor? For whose glory? For thy Creator's glory. When the Lord commands us to love him unconditionally, what does he say? That we're to love him unconditionally with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind and strength. A complete love is what your Creator demands of you, so that we would, with all our being, with our insides, our outsides, with our everything that the Lord has made within us, that we would serve him and we would serve his cause. Consider now the strength that the youth has, the vigor that a youth has. If we, those of us who are moving out of that phase of youth, well out of that phase of youth, we have a late night. We have a couple of late nights. We get to bed late and it takes a while to get moving in the morning. Injuries heal slowly. Fatigue that gets built up is difficult to be recovered from. But with the youth, that's not the case. The youth just seem to have these special batteries that just seem to go on, and they just need a couple of seconds recharge, it would appear, and then they can go on and on again. That's a vitality in the youth in the years of the youth of a human being that can be so used for the glory of God. Helping your parents at home if you're of a teenage or even younger. worshipping the Lord by keeping the fifth commandment and knocking on doors and handing out gospel tracts, being helpful in the church, helping the elder saints in the church, just within the church community, the things that can be done. And more practical things, the maintenance of buildings, the helping of each other in our homes. The Lord can use the strength, the vitality, the eyesight, the time of the youth, because they have it in abundance. And do you not then see how wicked it is when we as youths, when we as young people, and for me that's the past tense, waste time, waste the gifts of God. The Lord converted me at the age of 32, or 34 even. The age of 34. And I look back and think, oh, look, think of all those years that I could have been saved and walking with the Lord and serving Him. They're human thoughts, because God's timing is absolutely perfect. But even then, you understand what I mean. And yet those who are in their youth, those who are young and have that strength and that vitality, should seek to serve the Lord. And fourthly, while you can still hear the gospel, while you can still hear it, verse 4 points to our hearing. It says, when the doors shall be shut in the streets, and you can only hear everything as a muffling sound behind the doors, when the sounds of the grinding is low, so again we're back to the miller's wheel, but you can hardly hear it. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird. And here's the great contrast, of course. Waking up early, not that he'll hear the voice of the bird, but he'll wake up very early because of a lack of sleep. And all the daughters of music shall be brought low. They can with great difficulty hear the music. And so the Lord says, you know, while you're still young, before the hearing has been diminished, before you lose your hearing or one ear goes, or both of them go, or even it just becomes less strong as it was, that you can't hear things clearly when there's some background noise. Whatever it is, what was once sharp becomes dull and it becomes muffled. And the Lord says, remember now, while you have your hearing, while you can hear the gospel preached, while you can hear it, you should obey it. You should show your understanding of it by obeying your Creator's voice, who says to you clearly this evening, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. So remember now, he says. He says, remember while. But also, as we come to the last few verses of our section of text, he says, remember before. Remember before. Before what? The second half of verse 5 and verse 6 say this. Because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Before you go off to your long home, before you go to your eternal destination, remember now your Creator in the days of thy youth. There is a final and eternal destination for all of us. There's a long home for every person that this Creator has created. So for each and every one of us here in the room, and those listening and watching online, there is a long home, a final and eternal destination. And the Bible is very clear that there is an eternal life in glory with the blessings of the Lord. And this is to be gained through Jesus Christ. But there is also an eternal life of damnation, or eternal death in damnation, under the wrath of the Lord. And with those two understandings, we see here in Acts 3 and verse 19, it says, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, as the Lord visits a soul and convicts them and saves them. For there is that eternal presence with the Lord, a presence that is blessed, a presence that is all fulfilling. And believe me, you'll know what I mean, as your heart has longed to lay hold on Jesus Christ and to be in glory, that all wickedness, all hardness, all doubt and all sin has been removed completely, because at our death we're made perfect in holiness and we go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ according to his wonderful promise. How much your heart yearns and calls out to be in that full presence of the Lord. And we rejoice in times of prayer when we know the presence of the Lord. We know the blessed presence of God drawing nigh unto us. In times of grief or under the preaching of the word, when his spirit warms our hearts and thrills us. And we know our Jesus is there. His spirit is at work and he's thrilling me. He's loving me. Oh, there is that blessed presence of the Lord. But in terrible contrast, we have 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9. To those who have forgotten their Creator in the days of their youth, who have been blind and deaf and weak when it comes to the command and the demand of the gospel of Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. It is often said, but it's not biblical, that hell is an absence of God. You won't read that in the scriptures. We haven't just read that now. But what a presence of the Lord is it? It is the righteous wrath of Almighty God upon his enemy, who has forgotten his Creator at every time and every stage of life, and has despised his Creator and despised his Savior. Let me point you to who the Creator is. Hebrews 1 and verse 2 and 3 reveal something wonderful about who this Creator is. I'll read from verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he, that is Christ, had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. I'm not asking you, when we consider now before the grave, to remember God and to have some awareness in your heart that you're not an atheist because you believe in our God. I'm asking you to remember Jesus Christ as the only Redeemer of God's people. Remember now Jesus in the days of thy youth, for he is your Creator. He is your Creator. He is your Sustainer. We've just read it. We've also read that he is the Redeemer when he had by himself purged our sins, paid for our sins. He is now exalted and sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high. This Jesus, this Creator, this Sustainer of your life, this Redeemer sent by God, you must know before the grave. You must know his presence as your Savior and not as your judge. Will Jesus be a blessed presence or a punishing presence for all eternity? There's much more that we could be saying about this. But remember Jesus Christ in the days of your youth. Remember him with a believing heart. Remember him with a humble heart. And therefore remember him with a saved heart. Before your grave, but also, as it makes clear in verse 7, we won't go into the poetry of verse 6, but essentially that's all talking about death. The end of things. Life, talking of your body, talking about your spirit, talking about everything's to do with life, is broken. It's unloosed. And in verse 7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was our body, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. And what will God do to your spirit as it returns to him? Well, I'm not asking you to make something up. I'm not asking you to rest on wishful thinking. I'm not wanting you to make any false hope for your soul's sake. But Hebrews 9 and verse 27 makes that very clear. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. If you die in your sin, God will judge every sin, every last one. Because as we've considered, God is righteous. And the righteous judge of all the earth will judge every sin. He will not leave one unjudged. As Jesus Christ with his blood covers every sin, blots out every sin, so God in his wrath will punish every sin. That's a fearful thought. How many sins have you committed that you've forgotten? How many sins have I committed that I have forgotten? Thoughts, words, deeds. But God will judge every last one of them and will cast you into hell. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. But here is the wonderful contrast. If you die in Jesus, if you have remembered your Creator in the days of your youth, or even one second before you shuffle off this mortal coil and call upon him. This message, yes, it is for the young, for the children, for the teenagers, for the young adults. But the truth of the gospel is the same. But if you die in Jesus, here is the wonderful news that God has already judged your sins and poured out that wrath upon Jesus Christ. Every single one of your sins, sins you're yet to commit, put upon him. And he has paid fully and absolutely for every last one. How do we know? Because he died. And how do we know that that payment was accepted? Because he rose again. And so in closing, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. There's no difficult concepts there. There's no deep theological understanding. Remember how easily we forget. Will you be blessed by the remembrance of Jesus Christ? Or would you be condemned by your forgetting of Jesus Christ? Young person, if you have forgotten your Creator, now is the time to be mindful of him, to remember him, to remember Jesus Christ, to pay heed to his command, to obey his command. Remember now. And from now on, remember him. From now on, think on him. Now on, believe on him. And at any time of your life, however old or young you are, if you have forgotten to be thankful, to be humble, and to be repentant towards God, remember him now, backslider. You have forgotten the Lord. You've forgotten the heights to which the Lord has brought you. You have fallen. Repent. Remember him. Think on him. Remember his word that says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Remember that. And call upon him. Let's not have an intellectual memory. Let us have an active memory that hears the word of God, considers the word of God, considers God, and obeys God. Remember now thy Creator. in the days of thy youth. It is my prayer that God will give you much needed gospel remembrance of the truths of who you are, who He is, and what He offers mercifully to you tonight. That in the days of the youth, and who gave you youth, who gave you that strength and that vitality, the eyesight and the hearing and all the faculties, God did. And God says, before I must cast you into hell for your wickedness and your sin, for your indifference to the truth of who God and who Jesus Christ is, remember now, while you have a now, before tomorrow you get run over by a semi, before that heart condition that you knew nothing about takes you away before the end of the month, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And those outside of the days of thy youth, remember Him now and call upon Him. Remember your sin. Remember that your need of forgiveness of that sin. Remember the God against whom you have sinned. But remember this also, Jesus on the cross, dying for sin. Remember the gospel, that whosoever call upon Him, that He will answer, that He will save. Remember to repent of your sins and to call upon the name of Jesus. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. We've considered that in the context of age, but consider that now in the context of eternal punishment. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil eternal day come not. God is merciful and God is gracious in preaching a simplest of gospel messages in your hearing. Do not add to your sin by rejecting Christ, but instead call upon the name of Him, the name of Jesus, and be saved. May God bless His word to your never dying soul. May He remember you in mercy. Amen. Let us pray. Our merciful and kind and gracious God, Lord, that we should hear the gospel in our hearing, that thou hast a care for every or any son or daughter of Adam, calling upon all of us to remember Jesus the Savior, and especially those in the younger days, before hardness may have taken hold, before sin has become a habit, before unbelief is second nature. Lord, while the hearts are soft, while they're tender, O Lord, we pray, work faith in them. Draw them, O God, we pray thee, by thine irresistible power. Convict them of their sins. Cause them to call upon Jesus for salvation, for He shall answer. We know the truth of thy word, that it is true, O God. Deliver their souls from death. Deliver them from sin and from thy wrath, that they may enter into the joy of the Lord and know everlasting bliss with Jesus forever. Lord, bless thy word. Bless it to every heart. Convict and convert, we pray thee, and bring all glory to thy name. In Jesus' name we pray thee, our God. Amen and hallelujah.